Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, August 25th, 2026. From the front page of the commercial news, the first story today is titled Village Mall Interior Stores Closed. Outdoor entrance stores can remain open during repairs. And this story is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. says the interior stores of the Village Mall are closed because of safety issues concerning the roof following torrential downpours. "We became very concerned about the safety of our citizens and others who might be going in there," Williams said. "Our entire inspection team from three different divisions went there, and they found that it was unsafe for people to be inside the building. So we got them to voluntarily agree to close it down." Williams said his team became aware of some disturbing videos showing the situation on Facebook. "There were places where it literally looked like a waterfall was coming into the mall," Williams said. "The underdecking of the roof has gotten wet too, and it started to cause mold in various places. You can smell it as you walk into the building." And because of the damage, Williams said they had no choice but to close for safety reasons. "With all that water coming in across all of the wiring that's run throughout the building, you flip the wrong switch and literally you have a huge electrical fire. Our first goal is to keep our citizens as safe as possible, and that's what we're going to do," he said. Williams says the mall will stay closed until it is safe to open. "Until they fix this roof problem, they will not be able to reopen," Williams said. "I do believe that Mrs. Grace Wren, who owns the interior mall, I believe she's trying to do the right thing for the people of Danville," Williams added, not blaming the owner for the situation. "The problem is that the issues with the roof started while they were finalizing the acquisition, so all the insurance was still in the old owner's name. And so right now, basically, she's had to enter litigation to get a resolution." Williams said the stores with outside entrances are still open, like Ross Dress for Less, Pet Supplies Plus, Slumberland, and Shoe Sensation. So Williams says it is important patrons know these stores are open for the community. "The best thing is just reminding everyone that it's imperative that we continue to support the mall, the businesses that are existing," Williams added. As far as other flooding situations like City Hall, Williams says it is wrapping up and they are now in the remediation process after water damage to some drywall and a few ceiling tiles. "Thank the Lord everything was salvaged and safe, except for some ceiling tiles and carpet, of course, and a little drywall here or there," he said. Ellsworth Park was also hit with severe flooding from recent rains. "We are missing 11 picnic tables that got carried away by flood water, so right now the big push is just trying to get it cleaned up and ready for our big fall festival coming up in a couple of weeks," Williams said. However, the mayor says the park should be dry and ready for the fall festival. "My people are telling me that they don't foresee any circumstance where we wouldn't be able to do it there, but God forbid we couldn't. We would just probably pivot to Lincoln Park or somewhere else." Next, we have another story by Christy Jankowski. This one is titled "Kallman Brothers Accept Plea Deals." Paris. Two brothers charged after an attack on Danville Alderman Jaleel Jones had their charges reduced by taking a plea deal. Jones calls the deal a slap in the face. While Jones says he is happy justice was served, the outcome of the case feels like a slap in the face to his family, arguing that if the roles were reversed, he'd likely be facing 30 to 40 years to life instead. Originally, Jordan J. Kallman, 29, of Paris, and his brother, Jesse L. Coleman, 25, of Paris, both faced a hate crime charge as well as attempted murder charges. However, the severe charges were dismissed with the plea deal for both. Jaleel says the sentences amount to a slap on the wrist and leave victims to just deal with what the justice system gives us. The attack on Jones and his family happened on Friday, April 3rd, at White Oaks Park in Paris. Jones reported the men yelled slurs at him and his family members while pointing guns at them. The men then began shooting, causing Jones and his family to flee. Jordan Coleman's plea deal, according to court records, led him to pleading guilty to one count of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon and one count of mob action. The hate crime and attempted murder charges were dismissed. Coleman was sentenced to 11 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections with credit for 123 days served. He will also have to pay a $75 fine, $75 for credit time served, and $100 for his public defender assessment. For the second charge of mob action, Jordan was also sentenced to 3 years, according to court records. He was also given 123 days credit for time served. For Jesse Coleman, he pleaded guilty to one count of mob action and was sentenced to 3.5 years or 42 months in the IDOC with 131 days of credit for time served. Like his brother, he will pay a $75 fine, $75 for credit time, and $100 for his public defender assessment. The jury trial in both of their cases was vacated with the agreement. While Jones is glad there won't be a jury trial, he calls the deals bittersweet. When people can just take plea deals and do whatever they do to lessen their time, I guess that's what the victims got to deal with, Jones said. We just got to deal with what the justice system gives us. And our final story from the front page today is called Time for Flapjacks. Kiwanis Pancake Day set for Thursday at Palmer Arena. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. The Kiwanis Pancake and Sausage Breakfast Fundraiser returns for the 76th year on Thursday. The breakfast extravaganza will take place all day and into the night on Thursday at the David S. Palmer Arena at 100 West Main Street in Danville. Tickets at the door are $8 or $30 for a 4-pack bundle. A single ticket covers adult meals or 2 plates for children under the age of 12. We use the profits to finance children's needs all around Vermilion County, said Wesley Beritz, a volunteer for 60 years. So our goal is to help children wherever they are and whatever they're doing. Barrett says the organization is the key to the future of some of the children they serve. We do give away scholarships as well to DACC and other colleges, Barrett said. So we are proud of that because that's the way people can maintain their education. Because as you know, education is the secret to a good life. Barrett said this is the 76th year the breakfast is returning to the community, calling it Danville's Picnic. We're the only one that does it, and we are very proud of the fact that we are still doing it after all these many years, he added. A lot of people come and see each other from year to year, so it's an event. The all-day event brings out everyone, he says. It's breakfast, dinner, and lunch as well. Yes, we've had some people who do all three. And Barrett says they still receive donations for the pancake mix and fixings from Quaker Oats, even though they no longer have an open plant in Danville. Even though they moved away a couple of years ago, they still provide us with the mix and the syrup, he said. We are very, very thankful for that. Barrett says they are in need of volunteers, and if you would like to join, just stop by during one of their meetings at the Danville Public Library, held every second and fourth Thursday of the month. Our club is about 28 or 30 in number, Barrett said. We have to have some volunteers that help us outside of our club as well to make the thing work because it's a rather large undertaking. Our next story is a staff report, and it's titled Gardening Help Needed at Kennecuck's Atwood Home. Danville. The Vermilion County Conservation District has a unique volunteer opportunity for those that enjoy gardening. Volunteers are needed at the Atwood Home Garden in Kennecuck County Park for the rest of the summer and during the fall. Master gardeners have been continuously weeding and clearing plant debris to keep the gardens looking their best, but would love some additional help. There are 4 whiskey half-barrel planters that need to be watered during the dry periods. When the summer is over, we start the fall cleanup, which includes cutting back plants, hydrangea, hibiscus, and other woody shrubs. Also, clearing out the spent summer perennials, such as hostas, fern, etc. Volunteers do not need to be master gardeners or have gardening experience, and may work at times that are convenient for them and spend what time they can offer. The MG team work together on Mondays from 8 a.m. to noon as the weather permits. Volunteers should come at least once to our regular work times in order to see what needs to be done and to find where we keep our work tools. If you are interested, please contact Catherine Hart by phone at 217-977-5913 or Jan Hertherington at 217-260-1006 or by email at jeheather@comcast.net. And we have no obituaries to read today, so we're going to go straight to the sports pages for a story by Marvin Holman. Reversal of Fortune. Vikings rally late to defeat Maroons. Champagne. Comebacks never really happened for the Danville football team last season. But in Friday's opener against Champaign Central, the Vikings started the season with a reversal of that. Down 24-20, with a couple of minutes left, the Vikings would go on a drive that ended with a 46-yard DeMario Jackson pass to DeMario Crop Morris with a minute 14 seconds left for a 26-24 win. They have been able to grow up, and a year ago, if we had these situations, they would have given up, Danville head coach Marcus Forrest said. They fought through an extremely bad first half. They wanted to do well and played well at times, but there were moments when they had bad plays and had moments where they dropped their head. But to come together and play together and have a better second half, and it showed the growth we had in a year. For Jackson, the pass completed the first game as a starting quarterback for the senior and 3-time IHSA Class 2A track champion. Along with the pass, he ran for a touchdown earlier in the game. It was nerve-wracking at first, but I calmed my mind over and over. Also, everything came down to our training, Jackson said. We just had to get it done. I saw my receiver and I was able to get it out in front of him, and he went and got it. We come in a package deal. We call ourselves DND, and we come to work every day. Jackson was supposed to be part of a quarterback by committee for the Vikings, but Forrest realized that he didn't need a committee. The committee shrunk, but when you have a great kid who is a state champion, it helps a lot, Forrest said. We have some other kids, but he stuck out, and he was the one that was confident. He built everyone up. He had a tough go and had a chance where he might have cramped up, but I looked at him and I wasn't worried. He was able to get out of those situations. He leads us in different areas and builds others up. I'm going to enjoy that with it being his senior season. Another senior, Emilian Beasley, scored twice in the third quarter, including a 92-yard touchdown run. The reason I got that touchdown was because of my front line and their blocking, Beasley said. If they were not there, I would have not gotten the touchdown. I like to thank them, my wide receivers, and I appreciate this whole team, and that's why we got this win, because we worked together. After an off-season of hard work, Beasley and Jackson said what they took away from that off-season helped them get through a tough first half, which saw the Vikings down 12-6, in a time where they were down 18-6 in the third quarter. I feel like this year we all worked together. We all worked hard and coaches worked our butts off this week, Beasley said. We have even been working all summer, so I see this is what working hard gets us, and I'm proud of my team. We did a lot of hard work over the summer, and we didn't want that hard work to go to waste, Jackson said. We came in here with a different mentality all day, every day. Beasley and Jackson, along with sophomore Jamie and Cunningham, were placed in the backfield for most of the game. We have athletes, and my job is to utilize them and put them in the best position to make plays, Forrest said. I was able to put them in positions, and early, it wasn't a matter of them not finding holes, but them not running where they were supposed to. Once they did what they were supposed to do, things started to come together. Once we built confidence, good things happened. Forrest said they were also able to overcome some little things. Defensively, I know they were tired, and we had some tough plays, and we had little things happen, like a bad snap and a bad punt. But once we started taking care of those little things, some good things happened. The Vikings will try to sweep the Champaign teams on Friday when the Vikings host Champaign Centennial in the first home game of the season. We are trying to wipe them all and Urbana, Beasley said. On Friday, they talk trash on social media, but I see this is where talking trash gets you losing. It is a chance to go for another Champaign team, but it is also a chance to fix all the miscues that we had. If we fix the miscues and take care of those things, we don't get behind and we are able to battle. We are building for this week, and we have to get better ourselves, and if we do that, everything will work out. Our next beginning of the season story is Oakwood gets off on right foot. This is also by Marvin Holman. Bismarck. Sometimes a game can get decided on one play for Oakwood. That play was the first one. Senior quarterback Alex Wallace would step up and throw a 67-yard touchdown pass to Nathan Young just 10 seconds into the game. The pass set up a 19-0 first quarter and would lead to a 60-14 win over the Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin on Saturday. We had a game plan coming in, and it was something we were working on for weeks, Wallace said. I saw some pressure, so I climbed up, and that guy made a heck of a play. It's hard to beat scoring on the first play and then getting the ball back and score on your second or third play, Oakwood coach Cameron Lee said. It is going to be hard to beat a chance to jump out to a lead like that. Even with the Comets holding on to the lead from the start, Lee said, it was in week one, you find out a lot about your team and what they need to do and what you need to clean up, Lee said. Historically, we came out slow and we played closer games than we needed to. We left points on the board and made mistakes, but it was also an example of what we are capable of. To have a performance like this, we were not where we wanted to be and still scored a lot of points and won the game. There were a lot of mishaps, especially offensively, Wallace said. Offensively, it was a ton of stuff. I had 3 interceptions all of last year, and I might have thrown 3 tonight. So we will have to clean that up. We left a lot of points on the board, but we scored a lot of points. We will take a look at it, but we won the game. For the Blue Devils, they tried to battle back, but could not overcome that start. I had a bunch of sophomores out there and kids playing for the first time, and we were shell-shocked. I thought we did a nice job settling in after that and did better, but it is what it is. BHRA coach Mark Dodd said, I think it was a bunch of kids getting wide-eyed at the moment and more of our experienced guys thinking too hard and trying to do too much, and that's not a great thing. Braxton Schmidt had 2 touchdown passes for the Blue Devils, but that was one of the few highlights. He did a great job. He has come a long way since last season. He takes it seriously and has worked hard, Dodd said. We just have to do a better job around him. Our running game had nothing, and that puts pressure on the QB, and they know that too. I give a lot of credit to them, Lee said. In the defensive side, they made a big emphasis to take away the run game because we leaned so heavily on that, and they did not make it easy in the first half. It was important that Alex stepped up and made some tough plays, and Kyler Johnson kept running through the heavy boxes, and they made it tough for us. Wallace said the win could only work to help throughout the season, starting with Friday's home opener against Moments and with Vermilion Valley Conference teams that saw or heard that happen. It means a lot. I think week number one is one of the most important games because of high spirits, Wallace said. Last year, we got past Moments and it really helped us going the weeks forward. Getting the first win is a step in the right direction, but it keeps everyone happy to be here and happy to play. That's the thing with the VVC. It is a closed conference, Lee said. We see each other scores and stay on top of it. We can't worry about what they're going to see and focus on playing a better game. For the Blue Devils, they just want to move on as they hit the road this week to play Clifton Central. We have to get this out of the way, Dodd said. Credit to Oakwood. They have a lot of seniors on the field, and they know what they are doing. They are huge, and it was a tough matchup. In 3 to 4 weeks down the road, it could be a different conversation, but it is what it is at this point. We've been here before. We just have to move on and learn from our mistakes and coach the heck out of them during the week. I can't make them bigger. I can't make them older. We have great kids here, and they will get back to work like they always do. And now we're going to return to some other stories from the local pages of the Commercial News. Our next is a story from Indiana Capital Chronicle by Casey Smith titled Braun Demands Investigation into Prolonged Power Outages. Governor Mike Braun on Monday directed Indiana's utility consumer advocate to seek a regulatory investigation into Northern Indiana Public Service Company after widespread outages left thousands of Northwest Indiana homes and businesses without power for nearly 2 weeks. The requested investigation would examine NIPSCO's vegetation management and right-of-way maintenance, along with whether money approved by state regulators for infrastructure and reliability improvements was spent as promised. Braun directed the Indiana Office of Utility Consumer Counselor to file a complaint and petition the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission, or IURC, to open the review. His action follows a proposed class action lawsuit filed against NIPSCO, alleging inadequate tree trimming contributed to repeated and prolonged outages. The utility reported about 10,000 customers without power as of midday Monday, including about 3,900 whose outages were tied to the August 11th storm and subsequent severe weather. NIPSCO has failed to keep its end of the bargain, Governor Mike Braun said. The utility expected restoration work to be substantially complete in Munster and Lake Station by Monday night and in Gary and Portage by Tuesday night, although it cautioned that some individual outages could last longer. NIPSCO said it recorded more than 350,000 outages since the storm struck. Braun said crews from state agencies and utilities had done an extraordinary job under difficult conditions, but accused NIPSCO management of failing to provide adequate solutions. NIPSCO is a monopoly utility that Hoosiers pay every month, with the expectation that it will use its considerable resources to maintain its system, prepare for severe weather, and restore service as quickly as possible when disaster strikes. NIPSCO has failed to keep its end of the bargain, Braun said in a Monday statement. Hoosiers deserve accountability. Gary Common Council member Darren Washington told the Indiana Capital Chronicle that the outages require scrutiny beyond the immediate response. Next is a staff report. OSF Healthcare named one of best Illinois employers. Peoria. OSF Healthcare has been recognized on the Forbes list of best employers by state for 2026. According to a release from OSF, it's the eighth year in a row OSF has been included in the recognition presented by Forbes and Statista Incorporated. OSF improved from a ranking of 67 in 2025 to 37 this year. We are honored to again be recognized by Forbes as a top employer in the state, said Michelle Conger, CEO of OSF Healthcare. This recognition affirms the dedication of our mission partners, who live out our mission every day across the ministry, bringing the greatest care and love to our patients. It also reinforces our commitment to being an employer of choice, attracting and retaining the best talent so we can continue meeting the needs of the communities we are called to serve. And now we have Vermilion Valley Quilters looking for more participants. Danville. Members of the Vermilion Valley Quilters group joined together to make Christmas stockings for Project Success. The group makes over 200 stockings per year. Additionally, members of the group also make children's quilts and blankets for local charities. The Vermilion Valley Quilters meet the third Tuesday of every month. If you are interested in joining the group, they meet at 9 a.m. at the Danville Public Library at 319 North Vermilion Street. And in community briefs, we have the Eastern Illinois Food Bank announcing the Food Mobile will be distributing food to local families facing food insecurity in Vermilion County this month. On August 25th, they will make stops in Rossville and Ridge Farm. The first stop on August 25th will be at Christmas Park in Rossville from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., followed by a stop in Ward Park and Ridge Farm from 11:30 to 1:30 p.m. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, August 25th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.